They can see, oh, okay, it's not that hard. I can do this. I can help out, and I need to help out, because I think that's one of our responsibilities, professional responsibilities, to give back to those that can't afford an attorney.
Equal access to justice is a core American value. In each episode of Talk Justice, an LSC podcast, we'll explore ways to expand access to justice and illustrate why it is important to the legal community, business, government, and the general public. Talk Justice is sponsored by the Leaders Council of the Legal Services Corporation.
Hello, and welcome to Talk Justice. I'm Lee Rawls, Assistant Managing Editor at the ABA Journal, and your host for this episode. Today, we'll be talking about pro bono partnerships powering legal aid clinics in Kansas. How can private businesses support their corporate attorneys' involvement in public good? How does legal aid, in turn, support these pro bono attorneys? And what are the community impacts of expungement and driver's license restoration clinics? Joining us today to cover all of this are three guests: Joyce Springfield, Director of Pro Bono Services at Kansas Legal Services; Matt Ellis, Chief Counsel for Commercial and Pro Bono at Koch; Nathan Jeewanlal, Chief Counsel for Transaction Services at Koch. Guys, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So let's dive in. Joy, your position as pro bono director is something that wasn't so common at legal aid programs decades ago. Why has pro bono become an important strategy to build into civil legal aid programs?
Lee, I'm not an expert. I just got to Kansas Legal Services in this position about 3 years ago. But I think it's necessary because we have so many clients and so few attorneys at, you know, like Kansas Legal Services. We have about 45 attorneys, and we get maybe 10 to 30,000 calls for legal help. And we are in a legal desert. Most of our counties are rural. So it's on all of us attorneys, to help out our community. So this is great, where we have corporate in-house counsel and legal staff to assist us in helping Kansans.
Well, and Matt, can you tell us more about how Koch's pro bono initiative came to work with Kansas Legal Services?
Joy had just mentioned the number of calls that Kansas Legal Services receives. And a few years ago, it was 2017, and we decided that we wanted to have a organized official pro bono program. And when we tried to do that, we realized that the rules in Kansas didn't allow in-house attorneys to do pro bono. They could only provide legal services for the company they worked for. So the first thing we had to do was change the rule. And Kansas Legal Services was a partner that we worked with to go to Topeka and make that change. It became a pretty clear case because Kansas Legal Services was able to show that the supply greatly exceeded the demand. And ever since the rule changed, we've been partnering with Kansas Legal Services. Every year we've done expungement clinics, and we've done a handful of driver's license clinics as well.
Well, and Nate, you have actually participated in one of these. You wrote about your first experience volunteering with the expungement clinic for the Kansas Bar Journal. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. It was a tremendous experience for me. For the first 9 years of my legal career, you know, my focus had been my corporate position and you know, really developing and growing as an in-house corporate attorney. And, you know, love my job, wouldn't trade it for the world, but it has a different type of fulfillment than what you receive when you work on a pro bono project that has really a direct, tangible impact on a person's life, particularly somebody that, you know, may not have had the resources to accomplish what we were able to accomplish. So frankly, I kind of wish I would have done it earlier in my career, but until I came to Koch, I really wasn't aware of the resources that were out there. And people like Joy, obviously Matt, and what we have here at Koch provide really the resources and the comfort that you need to kind of jump into these opportunities. And you know, I definitely don't regret it and really would encourage anybody that has an interest to try it out.
Well, and I'm curious, you know, you mentioned this is very different legal work than you do in your day job. So, you know, is it a way that you, you know, get more fulfillment or can stretch those legal muscles? And do you think it helped you maybe engage more in your day job?
Yeah, I absolutely think so. I think many of us overlook the transferable skills that we develop, even as corporate attorneys. You know, the process for an expungement, for example, is pretty straightforward, but what made my case unique was that we ran into some challenges that required really some economic thinking, some problem solving, and I was able to team up with Joy and Matt and several others that touched my case to find solutions. And really what that was an application of the things that I have learned and developed as an attorney in my corporate career, just being applied to a separate, different space. So it is, it's not just a way to give back to the community. I think that's the main driver, you know, for the reason most of us do it, but it is also an opportunity to challenge yourself professionally and get outside of your comfort zone. You know, I hadn't really thought about criminal law since I took the bar exam. And, but with the resources that are out there, I was able to do an expungement effectively and, had the right people around me to make sure, you know, I was effective for my client.
So Matt, Nate obviously had a really positive experience here. How does any company, including yours, create a culture that encourages that meaningful pro bono engagement?
Well, I think Nate's story is great. And that's something that we try to do is anytime someone has a good experience, we want to share that. We want to share the impact story. We want to share how it impacted the client we worked with. What difference did it make in their life and in their family? And then we also want to share what difference has it made for our attorney volunteer? And when we do that, I think we find that we get more organic growth within our program. We have more people that want to get involved and want to volunteer. I think another thing that helps our pro bono program and just the culture that we're trying to establish here with Koch's Pro Bono Initiative is that we have buy-in from our senior leadership. We have our most senior management, our shareholders, everyone is very proud of the work that we're doing and seeing the impact that it's making. And our general counsel, too, provides great tone from the top. I mean, our general counsel is right there at our clinics. He's been doing an expungement case every year that we've been doing these. So all of those things, I think, work together.
Tell us more about the details of this partnership between Koch and Kansas Legal Services.
Yeah, we have partnered with Kansas Legal Services in both one-day clinics and also expungement drives where we provide full service representation to clients. And so the single-day clinics are a lot of fun in that it's busy. People come in and the line's going out the door, and we have tons of volunteers. We have some food, and then we even have volunteers that are not attorneys from our company that show up, and they'll sit down and help an attorney, and they enjoy being part of the process. So we did an expungement clinic like that, a single-day expungement clinic in April. It helped about 60, 70 people. And then just a couple days ago, we did a driver's license clinic here in Wichita, and we helped about 90 people. And those clinics are just great because you're seeing face-to-face these clients, and they keep coming in, all these people that need help. And it's great for me to be able to hear all the experiences and statements from our volunteers about what it means to them to volunteer. Then the second type of thing that we partner with Kansas Legal Services on is just more full representation. So people are all the time applying for expungements with Kansas Legal Services. And so KLS will screen those applicants, and they get everything ready to go. And then we show up with a team of volunteers. We do a training for our volunteers on this is how you do an expungement. And these are all the tools that you need. And then we just hand out cases to people. And over the course of a few months, our volunteers will take the file, meet with the client at a time that works for both of them, go through the paperwork, prepare it. We have to submit it then to the DA's office for approval before it gets filed with the court. And then we get to the happy ending where we're able to call up the client and say, hey, we just got the great news that your case was expunged, and now you're set to move forward.
All right. And Joy, anything to add about working with Koch?
I wanted to bring in that in Kansas, we have about 102 types of occupations that require a license. And a lot of them require a criminal background check, like barber, cosmetologist, or manicurist, dental technician, farmer tech, vet tech. This impacts the entire community and what kind of jobs they can get. We're just not talking about a lot of clients I've had, they want to go back to school. Are they in school or graduating from nursing school? And they'll have to do a background check. So this is, expungements are super important so they can move forward in their life.
Matt mentioned buy-in. From your side of things, how do you get that buy-in and manage these partnerships so that the companies or other partners keep wanting to work with Kansas Legal Services and the attorneys keep wanting to take on these cases?
Before I answer that, Lee, I just want to say shout out to Nate because he wrote the article and I asked everybody, anybody want to write an article for the Kansas Bar Journal? And he was like, yes. And he was right on it. And I think people like him telling their story about how it affected them or what they had to do and what they got back, not just from helping the person, what the person got, but what they got back from helping that person. I think that's one way where we're connecting with attorneys and they can see, oh, okay, it's not that hard. I can do this. I can help out and I need to help out because I think that's one of our responsibilities, professional responsibilities, to give back to those that can't afford an attorney. To answer your question, what I try to do is make it fun and not too complex for the attorneys that are involved in it. So they'll want to come back and they'll want to do it again. And I think a lot of attorneys like to meet, especially like in-house attorneys, you don't really, you have a client, because I was in private practice. You have a client, but for me, it was like a company. So I never saw them. But to meet someone face to face or even virtually, you know, talking with them and knowing how your work is so impactful on their life, I mean, it's just like a ripple effect. It just inspires me, and I bet it inspires other attorneys, and them just hearing about it, like from Nate, or hearing about it from their colleagues that went to the clinic, that helped in the clinic. I think that inspires others to join. And also what we do with our clinics, and I know a lot of legal aid organizations, they may do it different, but the ones that we do for like expungements or driver's license, we make it limited scope. So usually you don't have to keep helping the person, or you help them that day and you don't have to go to court. They'll let me know and I'll go to court, or one of our Kansas Legal Services attorneys will go to court, you know, on their behalf if necessary, and they can just help that day. So I try to make it as easy as possible. No conflict checking. You're not taking it back to your firm if you're a private attorney at a law firm. And it's a good bonding with your colleagues as well. And it's just a fun atmosphere, I think. You're having fun while you're helping people. And I try to reach out to the different corporations and tell them that, like, it's not going to bog their attorneys down. This is not something that they have to keep working on afterwards, and it'll take away from their day job and what they're doing. They could do it one day, or they could do a morning shift, afternoon shift. Hey, if they can't even come to the clinic, because we have them all over the state, and sometimes it's a drive, hey, they could do it virtually, you know? And we're just very flexible with them. And so because we want more people to get involved.
One thing I would add to Joy's point is they have done a great job of leveraging technology at KLS to streamline the process for their attorney volunteers. That was one of the things that intimidated me coming in, was I'm going to be drafting documents that I'm not familiar drafting. And, you know, pretty early on when we started training and onboarding for the expungement drive, they showed us how they're leveraging kind of automated document drafting and things of that nature to make the process easier, which reduces the amount of time that the attorneys have to dedicate to the case, and at the same time, effectively preparing the documents that the clients need to file their expungements.
Well, and Nate, Joy brought up the importance of hearing these personal stories. And in the Kansas Bar Journal, you did sort of lay out more about your client's experience. And I think listeners would really appreciate hearing, why did your client need an expungement? And what kind of impact did it have on his life?
Yeah. You know, my client had a over 20-year-old, you know, drug felony for a crime that, you know, in many states and, you know, municipalities has been decriminalized. So he had been kind of carrying that burden of a felony on his record for two decades. And Kansas in particular, you know, we're not a ban the box state. So for a lot of job applications, you've got to acknowledge the fact that you have a felony on your record. And he hadn't had any real, you know, real significant police interactions since that original charge. He was actively seeking employment as we were going through his expungement process. So, you know, it was clear to me, this is somebody that's trying to get back into the workforce and open up opportunities to find gainful employment. He had children at home, you know, minor dependents. So it really was employment driven and opportunity driven. And, you know, it was nice to see because my client was very eager and, you know, he checked in almost daily, you know, where are we at with this? And that's kind of how I found out he had received a job offer as we were working on his expungement, which kind of expedited the process. And, you know, that's when I reached out to Joy and we started problem solving to find ways to get his expungement expedited. But yeah, it really was to open up opportunities for him and for his family, and kind of to Joy's point about the face-to-face interaction. After we got his expungement order, you know, I had spoken to him. He said, I'm starting my job next week, which was awesome. And then checked in a couple months later and he, you know, he told me he'd still working at the same place 2 months in, loved it. And, you know, said it was life changing. So, that was his story. And that kind of really drove home the importance of this type of work.
So Matt, we just heard about how impactful this expungement was for one person. Why does Koch see expungement and driver's license restoration as important initiatives to support?
Yeah, it really is aligned with our company's guiding values and principles. I mean, here at our company, we talk a lot about self-actualization and wanting each employee at our company to achieve their potential. And our vision with our pro bono initiative is to use our legal resources and talents to help others in our community to achieve their potential. So how can we remove barriers that can allow people to move forward with their life and achieve what they want to? So that's part of why we do all of this pro bono work here at Koch.
And Joy, we've talked about how Kansas Legal Services holds these expungement and driver's license restoration clinics. And I believe you have one coming up later in yes. May. But are there certain kinds of cases like the ones that we discussed that are best suited to the pro bono clinic setting? Or are you just trying to meet a vast community need?
The mix of both. It's like 200,000 people in Kansas that may not have a valid license, but they're going to still drive on our roads. So it's like a mixture. They need to get their driver's license valid or get a restricted license, and they need to get to work. So it's like a balance. It helps both. It helps the community, helps them to handle these situations. And I wanted to also bring in that we work with the courts. We try to work well with the courts. We try to work well with the municipal courts. Sometimes they come to our driver's license clinics like they did recently. We work with KDOR, Kansas Department of Revenue. They'll send out someone, shout out Brittany, to help people get their restricted license or handle if they owe money. They let them know how much they owe. So, and they need that because they need to go to work. They need to pick up their kids. They need to, you know, run errands.
Well, you mentioned how much of the state is rural.
Yes.
And having grown up in a rural area, there aren't buses that come by.
Don't start me, Lee. That's my pet peeve. We need better transportation. But anyway, yes. And then with the expungements, I think there's around maybe about 85,000 Kansans that have felony record. they would like to work. They would like to support their family. So this is just, I think it's just a good mix to have these type of things. These are, we try to make it as easy as possible for the attorneys to, other than Nate's case. Sorry, Nate. But usually the cases are pretty easy and the courts know that we're having a clinic. So they're working with us and the courts and clerks work with us and we give them a heads up. Hey, you're going to get a rush of petitions coming in. So these are kind of like what we can do because we vet the people for the expungement. So we know usually they're eligible unless something recently happened. We do roadmaps for the driver's license clinic. So the attorneys know exactly what to tell their clients and can give them really good advice on both fronts. So because I think it's just, it's both for those. I would like to expand clinics. We, Kansas Legal Services, we do local clinics, like they'll do local elder law clinics or power of attorney, stuff like that. But we usually don't involve the private sector and the private attorneys. So I'm always looking to do a different type of clinic that we can help, that would make an impact on the community. So it just depends what they want.
And so let's talk about that private sector. Matt, you're the chief counsel for pro bono. You obviously made a good sell with Nate on participating in this. But when you approach other in-house lawyers about participating, what are some of the common reservations that they have and what do you say to them?
Yeah, it would be great if everyone just jumped in and said, let's do this. But I found that a couple of things have been helpful. One, I guess first, the reservations people have is that I'm too busy, right? Anyone that's in-house has a tremendous workload, and day in, day out, there's always a lot going on. We try to get over that by finding pro bono opportunities that can be, I guess, packaged nicely and discreet so our volunteers know what they're signing up for, and that way they can move forward and they know from the get-go what an expected time frame would be. Another thing that people will say is that, well, that's really not my area of expertise. I don't know anything about expunging criminal records, or I don't know anything about driver's license restoration. And, you know, I do commercial transactions, and I didn't know anything about these areas either. But as Nate was sharing and as Joy's been sharing, there are great resources that we have that can train people up and give them the knowledge they need. And then people find that once they do a case, once they do a second case, it's like, oh, I've got this. I can do it. And I think the neat thing is that people realize that, well, their training and their legal training allows them to come in and be critically thinking about a situation, digest the information quickly, and then apply it to the person's situation and help them get the result they need.
Yeah. To add to that, I think what KLS and Koch have created is a really collaborative environment. Some of the reservations I had was the fear of kind of being on an island or on my own managing this, but between Joy and the dozens of attorneys that we have working on these expungements, some of whom have done, you know, we've got people doing 8-10 a year. So I was reaching out to those folks saying, before I even started, hey, what's this like? What? How's the process go? And everybody really eased my concerns about it. And yeah, I think that from my perspective, it was more about my knowledge of criminal law and the expungement processes. And, you know, that was alleviated pretty quickly by the resources that are out there through KLS and through Koch.
And with this one experience under your belt, do you think you're going to be one of the attorneys who keeps doing expungements?
I do.
Are you diving back in?
I do, for sure, for sure. We had a clinic recently that I attended with Joy and Matt, and I think that being able to, you know, visibly see how many people were coming in, I don't, Joy, you probably know the numbers that day when we partnered with Goodwill, but you know, there was a line of individuals.
Yeah, and it was It was rainy too, Lee. It was about, we helped about 60, and we had about 7 walk-ins, I think, 6 or 7 walk-ins that we assisted. Yeah, so it was a great event.
Well, if there are any private sector attorneys listening whose company doesn't maybe have a pro bono program, but they're interested in volunteering, where would you suggest they start, Joy?
Of course they start with me. And I would also say at our clinics, we don't leave the private attorneys to, you know, without any, like you said, resources. We have Kansas Legal Service attorneys there present. Nick is now my expungement director. He's there. I'm there. So we're circling around and helping if they have any questions, because some people's cases are very complex. But they can reach out to me, my email, or they can text me.
How about you tell them your email and how to get to Kansas Legal Services website?
Just put in Kansas Legal Services. It will pop up. Or you can email me at springfieldj@klsinc.org.
Well, I want to thank Joy, Matt, and Nathan for joining all of us today and sharing about your inspiring partnership. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in to this episode of Talk Justice. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Podcast guest speakers' views, thoughts, and opinions are solely their own and do not necessarily represent the Legal Services Corporation's views, thoughts, or opinions. The information and guidance discussed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as legal advice. You should not make decisions based on this podcast content without seeking legal or other professional advice.